2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Here Paul says, but we all with open face. That phrase, open face, means unveiled face. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. The context is kind of difficult to explain, so I'll just explain it by saying that as Moses has his face shined after he beheld the Lord, so as we behold the Lord and behold his glory, we also begin to reflect his glory. I had for years wanted to preach on this text, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but I couldn't be sure what Paul meant by from glory to glory. And so that'll be our topic tonight. Finally, I felt like I had light on the subject and felt able to go ahead and preach on this. Now, man originally was created in God's image. In Genesis 1:26, the scripture says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So this is the Lord speaking. And we believe that man is special. You know, the world today seems to think that man is just in the way of the animals and that nature is more important. But the Bible makes it very clear that man was created in the image of God, and that this world was created for his benefit and his use. That image, of course, was effaced and marred by sin. When Satan led Adam and Eve into sin, their nature changed. And you see them begin to reflect that change. Pretty soon the earth is filled with violence and evil and immorality. And man now shows a very broken and a very distorted image. But that image is being restored in Jesus Christ. In verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Think of other scriptures, Romans 8 and verse 29. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Or Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So that is what is going on in salvation. It's important that you always remember that in salvation there are legal things and spiritual things. For instance, justification is a legal matter. We say we believe in forensic justification. 20 years ago, probably no one knew what the word forensic meant. But now they've got TV shows that use it. But forensic means legal. We believe in forensic justification. What that means is that God changes something, but it's our standing. He doesn't change our behavior or our nature in justification. I was in a debate one time with a Roman Catholic, and he said, well, you know, justification is a process. And I said, the publican went down to his house justified. Amen. And we went on like that, and I kept, he said, well, you know, justification is when God makes you just and he can accept you. And I said, well, the Bible says God justifies the ungodly. And it's amazing the power of the scriptures. That fellow finally just sat down. I think he got tired of hearing what the Bible had to say. But I'm thankful that there is such a thing as forensic justification. That I have peace with God, not through what God has done in me, but what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. But there is also a spiritual change that is being made in salvation. Now, this is a work in progress. Notice, from glory to glory. from glory to glory. In other words, one glory after another. In the Greek, the word is metamorphosis, just as a butterfly or an old ugly caterpillar goes in a cocoon and comes out a beautiful butterfly. So in Christ, we're changed from glory to glory. In Proverbs 4 and verse 18, the scripture says, "The righteous is as the shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day." Sometimes we speak about a Christian who's died and we say his sun is set. No Christian's sun sets.
Amen.
It's from glory to glory. Our light goes till high noon and then we stay there.
Amen.
From
Amen.
Glory to glory. I often tell about the poor man that was dying and he was so weak the preacher couldn't understand him. Had to put his ears down to the man's lips to hear him speak. And he said to the man, "How are you?" And the man said, "Almost well." And that's what we have in Christ. We're almost well. We're being changed from glory to glory. Now, the reason that I didn't feel at liberty to preach on this portion of Scripture is because I couldn't figure out what Paul meant when he said, from glory to glory. What were those glories that he was talking about? Well, I got to thinking about it, and it finally struck me that we always interpret the Bible according to the analogy of faith. What that means is you never interpret the Bible to contradict Scripture.
Amen.
You always interpret the Bible to reflect what it teaches everywhere. In thinking about this, I thought, well, what are the changes that God makes in our life and in our person in salvation? And then I thought, well, I can think of three: the new birth, sanctification, and glorification. And so I believe that's what Paul means by from glory to glory. First of all, conversion or the new birth. In John 3, there are two musts. The Bible says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so it was necessary for our salvation that Jesus Christ die on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
And that he be lifted up. But it is equally as necessary that the Spirit of God come and quicken and make us new in Christ.
Amen.
And therefore, the Bible says you must be born again. And the Holy Scripture says that we're born of the Spirit of God. And so we are thankful for that glory. What a difference the new birth makes.
Amen.
You know, I can remember after the Lord saved me, sitting in a class and thinking, what happened to me? Why am I different? Why do I want to go to church when I didn't used to want to go to church? Why do I love Christians when I used to just not want to be around them? What happened to me? I really wasn't taught anything in church, and I didn't know what the new birth was. So I'm saying, what happened to me? Well, what happened to me was the new birth.
Amen.
You must be born again. Have you been born again? You say, well, what does that mean? Well, you take, for instance, you're born into a family, you bear a family resemblance, family traits, but when we're saved, we're born into the family of God, and we begin to bear His image to a greater degree than we have. And so we're saved and changed from glory to glory. The second glory is sanctification. The Bible says, "He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." The scripture says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And then the scripture says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So in sanctification, that which has begun in the new birth goes forward, and we grow and we become more like Christ. Anything that's alive grows. If you are born again, there's going to be growth. And if there is not growth, the Lord's going to chasten you that you do grow.
Amen.
When I came to the First Baptist Church of Independence, it seemed like the church was in such a cold state. And yet the Lord visited us and people began to grow and others were saved and added to the church. But some never grew. I often use this illustration. When I came many years ago, they were selling the pet rock. You young people know what the pet rock is? I don't keep up with stuff, so maybe that's ancient history. But the pet rock, they would, seemed like you'd get a rock and it was in a box. I think you got adoption papers. And it was a very easy pet to take care of. And I'm sure somebody made a lot of money, because I was walking down the creek today and I could have come home with all kind of pets. But I often said this, that the pet rock, when I came to the First Baptist Church of Independence, Kentucky, if I'd gotten a pet rock and named it and so on, and set it on the front pew, I could have preached to it for 22 years. It would have been there. Could have put it down at the altar, as some churches preach. But after 22 years, it would be exactly like it was.
Right.
Because there's no life there. But those that are born again, the Lord begins to sanctify them. And they grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then glorification. In Philippians 3 and verse 21, the scripture says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body?" In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this mortal shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory."
Amen.
And so in salvation, there is a series of changes. We're changed from glory to glory into the image of the Lord. And you think about this. One day, as the gospel is preached, you're born again. Not born of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. And as Paul said to the Galatians, "I've begotten you through the gospel." And how I remember being under conviction and the change that the Lord wrought in my heart. And then, because you're alive in Jesus Christ, you begin to grow and God deals with you. And finally, at the coming of Christ, we'll be glorified. We'll have a new and glorified body, one with spiritual capabilities. Now, what is the agent of this change? This from glory to glory. What is the agent of this change? Well, you notice in verse 18, "For we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory." Notice, "even as by the Spirit of the Lord."
Amen.
We were talking about the Trinity, I believe it was last night at supper. And we mentioned that our salvation is a triune salvation. God the Father loved us and chose us to be his own. God the Son died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose again. And he took our sins on himself that we might have his righteousness imputed to us. And God the Holy Spirit has the work that he does, as by the Spirit of the Lord. In conversion, we're born of the Spirit. Titus 3 and verse 5 says that he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And even in glorification. The Spirit of God has His work. One of you preachers, I wish if you can, after church, you'd tell me what this verse means. Romans 8 and verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I shouldn't have said what I just said because I don't want your mind drifting off thinking about things. I'm not even going to mention the problem I have there, but if you want to talk about it, we can after church. But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, if He dwell in you, He'll quicken our mortal bodies. So the Holy Spirit is the agent of change. He's the one that creates this change from glory to glory. But now here's the very interesting part to me. What is the activity of the changed? Well, notice, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And there you have the activity, beholding. The Spirit does His work. Christ has done His work. And what is our work? As we behold. Now let's think about this. My parents had I still have it, it's a camera that they had when I was a child. And you say, what's the nature of this camera? Well, it's a cardboard box. And it's got a lens in the front of it. And it's got a button that you push that moves the shutter. And I was looking at that camera. Can you believe the change that's been made in one lifetime? Now we have cameras. You can take a picture, send it halfway around the world. I have no idea what you can do. I don't have a smartphone because it'd be smarter than I am, and I wouldn't know what to do with it. But you think of this old camera and what these modern cameras will do. But as I looked at that camera, thinking about this sermon, I thought, I believe there's a parable in that camera. Let me show you how that camera teaches us this business of being changed from glory to glory. First of all, you have to have paper, photographic paper, and you put that in the back of the camera, but it has to be treated with light-sensitive chemicals. We think of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended under the things that were spoken, and we are the paper that the Lord is going to put His image on, but the Spirit of God has to make us sensitive to the gospel, sensitive to the light. And that's what the light is. It is the gospel. Now, the shutter is the opening to where the light can come in through the lens and hit the paper. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 and 6, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so there you have the parable. We're the paper that the picture is made on. We're treated with light-sensitive chemicals, and that the Spirit of God works in our life. The button is pushed, the shutter opens, and the light shines in.
Amen.
And the image is formed. And that's how God transforms us from image to image. Now, how do we behold Christ? The Scripture says, as we behold Him. First of all, in conversion and the new birth, we behold Christ in the gospel. The Bible says, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." In Romans 6 and verse 17, the Scripture says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." This is an interesting verse because it expresses it a little different, but it's expressing the same thing. Notice, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine." In the Greek, that phrase, form of doctrine, means the impress of doctrine. I used to have a library stamp that I'd use on my books, and you'd push it down, and when you pulled it back up, it would say, from the library of Ron Crisp. Well, when the gospel comes, it makes an impress on us.
Amen.
One summer, I visited 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, working for a big church up in Detroit. And I got to where when somebody came to the door before they even opened their mouth, I could tell you what denomination they were. You say, why? Because that doctrine left an impress on them. And so the Lord changes us. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in conversion, we behold Christ in the gospel. You know, salvation comes through the ear gate. The Bible says, hear, and your soul shall live. We do not come to salvation through ordinances or sacraments, but we hear the gospel, and it's by the gospel that we're born again.
Amen.
In sanctification, we behold Christ in the Bible. Now, let me explain and make sure that you understand what I'm saying. In conversion, we behold Christ in the gospel. Somebody preaches the gospel, we hear it. We see our need of Christ. We trust in him. In sanctification or in spiritual growth, we behold Christ in the Bible. In other words, every day when we get up and have our devotions, we ought to say, Lord, may we see Jesus.
Amen.
And as we see Christ in the Bible, we become more like him. You'd be amazed if you took the time to read the New Testament through and observe everywhere that it speaks of Christ as our example. And as we observe Christ in the Scripture and listen to his words in the Scripture, we become like him. Several years ago, the kids had these bracelets that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? Now, how do we know what Jesus would do? By what he did. And where do we find out what he did? In the Holy Scripture. Jesus, or Paul said, for instance, in Philippians 2 and verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, speaking of Christian humility. And so, when you get up tomorrow, whenever you have a set time to read the Holy Scriptures, you might pray to the Lord and say, now, Lord, I was born again by seeing Christ in the gospel. Now, Lord, may I behold Christ in the Scriptures. And as I behold him, may I become more like him. But here's the glorious thing. In glorification, we behold Christ face to face. And you say, well, what happens then when we behold Christ face to face? In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, in verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now notice, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Why shall we be like him? For we shall see him as he is. And so in glorification, we behold Christ face to face. You might notice that in the new birth and in sanctification, we look to Christ spiritually. And as we look to Christ spiritually, we're changed spiritually. But one day when Christ comes again, we'll look at him physically. And when we do that, it will be a physical change. You know, Each of us have health problems, and we wrestle with this old body. It's a body of sin and death, and gravity affects it. Gravity's affected my hair, and other things. We grow weaker and weaker. But in this, in our heart, we desire to see Christ. And the reason is because when we see Christ, we'll be like Him. In regeneration, we look to Christ in faith. In sanctification, we look to Christ in love. In glorification, we look to Christ in hope. Jesus said, "Look unto me." In regeneration, we look to Christ. In sanctification, we look at Christ. And in glorification, we look for Christ. This is not only the teaching of the New Testament, but the teaching of the Old Testament. Listen to what David said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Amen. Now, folks, let me tell you this. These things are real. These things we experience. One day I heard the gospel. And in hearing the gospel, I looked to Christ. I didn't look to an altar or a preacher. I looked to Christ.
Amen.
And He transformed me. So much so that I had to ask myself the question, what happened to me? I didn't really understand the new birth, but I'd experienced it. Then I began to want to grow. And as you begin to read the Bible and look to Christ as we see Him revealed in Holy Scripture, we become more and more like Him.
Amen.
Things that shouldn't be in our life, they begin to disappear. We begin to ask God to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage you every day when you have your devotions, pray to the Lord that He'll enable you to look to Jesus. And as you look to Jesus, you'll become more like Him. And then what a wonderful thought it is that one day Christ is coming back. I was asked to preach on the hypostatic union. I'm not going to do that tonight. And you probably don't even know what that means. But it was a wonderful blessing to me because without taking time to explain that doctrine, what it taught me was Jesus Christ is still a man.
Amen.
He's God, but He's man. Just like me, He has a glorified body. But one day He's coming back and I'm going to see Him. When I see Him, I'm going to be like Him.
Amen.
We know not when He shall appear, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him.
Amen.
For we shall see Him as He is. Let me ask you, have you been saved? It's not a matter of whether or not your name's on the roll of this church. Have you been born again?
Amen.
They used to ask John Wesley, they'd say, "How come you're always preaching on you must be born again?" He said, "Because you must be born again. It's not something that you can escape. If you die without the new birth, you're going to die lost. You must be born again." And then ask yourself, are you growing? Are you changing? Or are you like the pet rock? I'm afraid we've got a lot of church members that are like the pet rock. They never grow because there's no life there. But then He's going to come. And when He comes, we'll be like Him. We'll be in His image. The physical look will produce a physical change. If you're without Christ tonight, consider these things. God changes us. In justification, He changes our standing. But spiritually, He changes us from glory to glory. May the Lord bless you.